Sex and happiness both enrich our lives, yet it's surprising how few people can honestly say that they enjoy regular and fulfilling sex or describe themselves and their lives as happy. Host Lori Handlers helps you to experience real intimacy and happiness. You'll laugh a little, learn a little, and we hope put a smile on your face and a smile in your life. Now here's Lori.
Hi, everybody. This is Lori Handlers, and you're listening to another episode of Sex and Happiness, a show about sex and happiness. And this show is going to be pretty sexy, and I hope it's going to make some of you happy. We're going to talk about a really controversial subject in hopes that you will see that there is a huge value to this and probably a huge need, but we'll establish that as we go along. And we're going to use some scatological language. Like, sometimes we curse on the show and say swear words. But we're going to lay some F-bombs on this show. I just want to warn you, if you're somebody listening, you know, I don't know who you are out there. I know there's 100,000 of you or more, but I don't know, you know, where you're coming from. But I'm just letting you know that we're going to use the word fucking in this show probably a bunch of times. So if you're someone who needs to cover your ears, you need to do it now. Anyway, let me talk to you about my guest, and then we're going to get right into it. So my guest today is EJ Love. And EJ is a love, relationship, and sex coach. She's a tantric sex healer, a tantric sexual healer. She's been aptly dubbed the love priestess. She helps people to heal and empower themselves in their relationships, love, intimacy, and sex. Speaking from her own personal experience, she travels the world sharing her message through speaking events, media, radio shows, and writing articles. She writes books, blogs, and often is interviewed on mainstream TV. So, EJ, welcome to Sex and Happiness. And you and I are going to talk about what I'll label a controversial subject, because it like talks about one particular gender, and we're going to use the word fucking. So we're going to talk about... we're going to talk about fucking a man's heart open. And we're going to, so before we go there, so that's just like everybody's now, either they're sitting at the edge of their chairs or they're not, you know, they're backing away, go away quick. Before we get into that and talk about like, what does that even mean? How did you get into being a relationship sex coach and tantric sex healer?
Yeah, I love that fucking intro, by the way. It was awesome. And I hope people are moving forward closer to listen in, because it's going to be a juicy show. So I actually worked as an escort for about 6 years. And before that, I'd actually been I've been running swingers parties and really exploring my sexuality. Often in unconscious ways. And I was actually quite disconnected from myself for a big chunk of that. But about 3 years into my working as an escort, and for those I know all over the world, in Australia, an escort is also the same as a sex worker. So I know in some places escorting is a little bit different, but it's the same thing. So that's the term we use here. And so basically, I was touring and traveling Australia and seeing men and exploring intimacy in different ways with them. And so about 3 years into that, I was in a relationship, and I got to this point where I didn't want to have sex with my partner, which is really interesting, because the men that were coming to see me, often the men that were in relationships that were coming to see me, were coming because they didn't have any intimacy in their own relationship. Like, this is a very common theme. And here I was going home and seeing my partner and then not wanting to have intimacy with him.
I'm just gonna stop you for a minute. That's like, yeah. Thank you for that juxtaposition. Like, I can just see that. Here you are providing something for men who need intimacy, and then you go home and there isn't any at home. Wow. Wow. Underline red underscore. Okay. Go ahead.
Yeah, totally. And for me, it was like, I didn't want to be like that. And it was really interesting, because when the men would explain to me, that they didn't have any, they loved their partners, but they didn't have any intimacy, and how much of a struggle it was. And I felt really sad. And then I questioned, well, I wonder what's going on for the woman that makes her not want to be intimate with a man that she loves. And then I was that woman, and I became that woman, and I was like, oh, and I, it was pitiful because I got to be in that position and really understand, rather than kind of, I guess, blaming the woman. And
yeah,
what I realized was that I just wasn't in my body, and I was so disconnected from myself sexually. I'd become quite numb. You know, in my mind, sex had become a chore, had become work, because, you know, I was doing sex work. It was really like almost like I trained my brain to see sex as something that wasn't really even pleasurable anymore. It was just something that I did and something that I performed and that I pleased, rather than it actually being for my own pleasure.
So, and this is something that I just want to ask you a question in this. This is sure. So rich. What you're talking about is, you know, because even women who aren't what you're calling sex workers have that same feeling, like sex is a chore. I have to do it. It's my wifely duty. You've heard that, you know.
Yeah.
Oh, I can't wait till we're over 50 and his testosterone goes down, so I don't have to do it anymore. I mean, there's all kinds of women that feel like that.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's interesting. I actually had, what I noticed was that even before I worked in the sex industry, I was, you know, already disconnected, and I was finding other ways, like, you know, doing, like when I was a swinger, it was like there was a lot of validation, needing to feel worthy, and the sex wasn't actually an embodied experience for me. It was like a self-worth and validation experience.
Got it.
Yeah. So we ended up in that relationship where I, you know, was going home and not wanting to have sex. We actually ended that connection. And as soon as we did, I was like, right, I'm going to do something about this. And I went and spoke to a friend who's a sex coach. And she said to me, I think you need to have a tantra massage so we can see what's going on, where you're disconnected, if you've got blocks with your sexual energy, which I did. And that was my first experience of tantra, was receiving a tantra massage, which was I felt very numb, like the whole time. I didn't feel a lot, but she did clear. She said that when she was clearing around my sacral chakra, that she could feel all this heavy energy of all the DNA of all the men that I'd been with that was being held in my body. And my response was, oh, can you get it out of there? Get it out of there. Get it out.
Yeah, get it.
Yeah. And the main thing was I was in my head and I just wasn't in my body. And so I had this inability to actually feel pleasure. And I started to start really self-pleasuring myself in a really conscious way with breath and sound and touch and movement. And the first time I ever did that, I broke down in tears. And I realized that I actually had shame around not feeling worthy to receive pleasure. And that was really huge for me, and I started my journey into sexual healing myself. But at the same time, what I realized is when I had this tantra massage was that this epiphany came where I was like, this is what I'm meant to do, because I'd been exploring the spiritual side of myself for about a year. And when I was doing sex work, I felt like there was some kind of, oh, this is not quite in alignment for me right now. How do I bring my spirituality into my sex work, and how do I combine them? And then when I discovered the tantra massage, it was like this realization that sex and spirituality go together that I never had before. I was like, oh, sex and spirituality go together, and I'd been keeping them separate. Right. And it was just like, now to me that just seems crazy, because I'm like, of course, it's like, of course they do, like it's like essential. But for me, that was a huge realization. And so that's when I started to explore learning, and I asked her to teach me tantra massage. And then I just kept going to workshop after workshop after workshop and courses, and just couldn't, it's as much as I could learn as possible about a sacred sexuality and sexual healing and tantra. I really just dive deep into it, which then has developed over the last 4 years into what I do now.
Mm. So I got to backtrack a little bit, because I got some questions for you about what you said.
Love it.
Said a lot. So part of it is, first of all, yeah, I just want to underscore this. you didn't know that sex and spirituality went together, because it was, you know, none of us did, unless we felt something inside, like from an early age, that no one could get around most of the time because of religion and the culture and our parents and education, the way we grow up, it's deliberately separated. So because they don't want us to know our true sense of power.
Mm-hmm.
So of course you didn't, you know, you wouldn't, like, I always tell the story that, you know, I always knew that sex was more than two frictional things rubbing up against each other. But anyone I ever asked, you know, do you want to go deep with me? They would look at me like with a blank stare. Are you crazy, woman? You know, they thought, I mean, when I was first starting to have sex, some men thought I was so out of my mind to want to experiment and go really deep and whatever. They were just interested in this, in fucking, you know, in this frictional sensation and coming. And they would look at me like, she's off the wall. So that was, and that was before I knew what Tantra was or sacred sexuality. It's just a feeling I had inside, but I didn't know where to find out anything about it. So that's, you know, so I think that we were purposely educated and socialized in a way to keep those things separate, because that's really what empowers us to know that they are connected. You know, the other thing I wanted to ask you is, when you said you weren't embodied, like you said you were having sex and you didn't feel it in your body until you had this tantric massage and you started self-pleasuring consciously, are you aware that you had any traumas, you know, like early on? Was there anything that, I'm asking you this because there might be somebody listening who hears this for the first time and goes, oh my God, that's me. Have you become aware of any like really early traumas that it would have led you to disembody, you know, to like dissociate or something?
No, I haven't. Okay. But there was definitely in my late teens, there was a very sexual relationship that I was involved with that was very much about performing and pleasing, and it was an emotionally abusive relationship. And it was definitely what I found. It was really interesting, which I think is super interesting how I ended up in the sex industry, was that what would happen is he would gamble and take drugs and ignore me for days. But there was always two ways that I could get him to pay me attention. That was providing sex and providing money. And so I feel like it's really interesting, and that I ended up in the sex industry where I provided sex and always had money. So interesting. Yeah.
Yeah. So in a certain way you got conditioned then. And then you said you were having sex for approval, you know, to like, to get your self-worth and approval. And so part of that goes hand in hand. One thing I want to point out here, which I think is true, so I'm going to check it out with you for sure, and I don't want to misstate it, but I think that the sex industry is legal in Australia. Is that correct?
Yes, that's right. Yes.
Yeah. So I want to say that because, you know, I live in the United States, where the sex industry is not legal. Well, porn is legal. If you say you're doing it for entertainment, it's all kosher. You know, it's completely above board. But if you say you're exchanging sex for money, you will go to jail, you know, if they catch you. And not you, but, you know, a person will go to jail if they catch you. And there's no, it's not okay between two consenting adults. And there's a lot of judgment. You know, there's a lot of morality in the U.S. anyway. I can't speak for all the other countries, but there's a lot. I know England sex work is legal. But I'm pointing it out because I don't know where all my listeners are. But if they are listening to you, you're talking about it like it's normal. Like you go to work every day. You know, some people work in the post office and some people are doctors and some people go to their school teachers. And you were a sex worker and it's included.
Yeah.
As a normal, regular thing that people do, there's an exchange of sex for money. And whether you liked it or you didn't like it, whether you are, you know, checking out, whatever you would, most people are checking out on their jobs anyway. So you didn't prove to be any different.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, there's still definitely stigma here in Australia around it, but there's definitely what's been happening probably the last year, more and more sex workers are talking quite publicly or speaking up. And so it's becoming more like slowly, more normalized. Good. But I mean, I went on national TV and came out about it, and I've only had support. So it's, yeah, pretty awesome.
Oh, good. So you didn't get any hate mail or anything like that?
No, not at all. Like, if anything, yeah, it was really, really supportive. And it gave permission for other women in particular and some men to reach out to me who do work in the sex industry and have felt like this stigma and, yeah, felt support, have been able to feel supported.
Mm. Yeah, that's so good. All right, we're going to take a short break here. When we come back, we're actually going to talk about our subject. You know, like our title for today is fucking men's hearts open, and like, why would you and me even talk about that? So everybody who was on the edge of your chair before, you know, we're not giving you the goods yet. We're going to take a short break, short commercial break, and when we come back, we're going to get right to that subject. If you just tuned in, I'm talking with EJ Love, and she's a love, relationship, and sex coach. She's a tantric sexual healer, and she's been dubbed the love priestess. So she just told us that she's working her way out of any stigma. She bravely went on national TV in Australia, and that's a big thing. And so we're going to find out what she's actually up to. Sexual healing, baby. Hi, everybody. This is Lori Handlers, and I want to talk to you today about an Eastern European tour where I'm going to be teaching Tantra all along the way of the tour. Now, many of you know that I did Tantra Tourists, a film where I took people to India, and I taught Tantra on the bus and at the Taj Mahal and all these places. So now I'm bringing people to Eastern Europe. And my tour is 14 nights, 15 days at 4-star hotels, and it's land only. And the cities we're going to hit are Prague, Budapest, Rovinj, Zadar, Wien, Zagreb, Split, Dubrovnik. And I'm very excited about it. The only place I've been of all those places is Dubrovnik long ago. So if you've never been to Eastern Europe, and you'd like to see those places, you'd like to start in Prague and end in Dubrovnik and learn Tantra along the way, I welcome you to come and join me. You can be a couple or you can be a single. It really doesn't matter. All meals are included. All hotels are included. And it's going to be exciting for me because I've never been there. And I know that it'll be exciting for you too. You'll be able to learn as you tour. So to find out more, you need to go to this website, sacredsensualgetaways.com. That's sacredsensualgetaways.com. And click on Meet the Instructors, click on Lori Handlers, and come with me. The tour that I'm talking about starts on June 16th and goes to June 29th. Perfect time for Europe. So join me. I look forward to hearing from you. You can write to me, by the way, for more information at laurie@butterflyworkshops.com. That's L-A-U-R-I-E at butterflyworkshops.com to find out more about the stores. Please join me in Eastern Europe. It's going to be great.
Are you wondering what book to read to jumpstart your life, get the best from relationships, attain the deepest feelings of intimacy? Do you want the best sex along with great happiness? Get your copy of Sex and Happiness, The Tantric Laws of Intimacy by Lori Handlers right now. You'll learn how to make love in the unknown, take the performance anxiety and reaching a goal out of sex. You'll learn subtle ways of communication and really important practices to empower you when dealing with an intimate partner. You'll let go of blame and struggle. Doesn't this sound great? Sex and Happiness puts the innocence back into sex and gives Tantra the respect it deserves. Take charge of your life, physically, emotionally, and spiritually with Sex and Happiness by Lori Handlers, only $19.99 paperback and $14.99 ebook. Order your copy today by going to butterflyworkshops.com. sexandhappiness.com. That's butterflyworkshops.com for your copy of Sex and Happiness.
We are back with Sex and Happiness. And again, I'm Laurie Handlers, and I'm interviewing EJ Love. By the way, because EJ is in Australia and I'm in Phoenix, Arizona, we've had the most horrendous time trying to hook up and get our times together. And I've made some big mistakes in trying to align with her just time-wise. But I'm thrilled, EJ, that you're on the show and that we're finally getting to talk to each other. And this spring, later this spring, for those of you who are listening in the same time frame that we're actually speaking, later on, I'm going to be in Australia at the Taste of Love Festival in Byron Bay. And EJ is going to be there too, presenting. And so we're finally going to meet face to face, which I'm very excited. I love meeting the people who are on this show. So, EJ.
Hey.
What is fucking a man's heart open? What could you possibly, that's like astounding of a statement. What does that mean?
So for me, what it really means is being in your vulnerability, but, you know, being in receptivity and being in feeling. So as I talked about before, I used to be not embodied to perform and to please, and that does not open a man's heart. So what I realized was that to really open a man's heart, and this is what I've discovered through working with my clients, through my tantric practices, is when I really drop into my body and really drop into allowing myself to really receive pleasure and to be vulnerable and to be seen, is that really initiates a man into this presence and this depth and opens his heart. And I did this practice. I was at a retreat here in Australia, and we did this practice with another woman, and where we touched her face, and we had to tune into our own masculine energy to do this. Mm-hmm. And she had to be, the other woman had to be in full just surrender and receptivity and feeling. And when I touched her face really slowly, gently in her hair, I just saw this beautiful goddess and this radiance. And I got this feeling in my heart of, this is what men see in women. This is the beauty. And most of the time, so many women are trying to be in this pleasing and performance. And it's like, I feel like we've got it all around the wrong way, that we need to drop into really being able to receive pleasure. And so what I find is that in my sessions with men, is that when I really connect and slow down and take and be soft and allow them to really see me, this is really heart opening for them. It's what I feel and what I've seen is that a lot of men are starving for feminine energy. And when they come and I had a man recently who inquired to do a session with me, to do a tantra massage. And he asked me three things that he asked me were, can I touch you? Will you be naked? There was another thing, it'll come back to me. But he asked me these questions where my first thought was that, oh, and can he ejaculate? That was the other thing. And my first thought in my mind was, oh, this is not really what the session is about. I'm not sure if this is a fit for you. Like, you know, it's not really about me. It's about you receiving. It's not focused on ejaculation. And it's really irrelevant if I'm naked. This was the thoughts in my head. And it automatically kind of went into, oh, I don't think this is going to be the right thing for you. You maybe need to go have an erotic massage or something, you know?
Yeah.
And then I kind of explained what I do. And then he said to me, you know, let me tell you what I need. And he said, my wife died 2.5 years ago. And what I really need is just some feminine pampering. And in that moment, I felt a lot of compassion. And then I realized that even though he thought and what he really wanted was what he'd asked for, what he really wanted with connection and intimacy and company, and just wanted to be pampered, and really he hadn't been touched in 2.5 years by a woman.
Right.
Like, he was longing, but his understanding of that was like, you know, nakedness and ejaculation and all this kind of stuff. Like, so underneath some of this raw sexual desire is this longing to be seen and to be loved.
Yes.
And I invited him to come and have a session, and we did what is an intimate touch session that I offer, which is where we consciously give and receive touch within consent and boundaries. And it was the most beautiful session. And the first thing I felt I needed to do for him was actually to dance and be in my body. And he was just, it's exactly what he needed. Like, he needed to be able to witness a woman in her feminine energy. And that just allowed him to feel nourished. It was this feeling of, like, by the end of the session, he was just like, felt so nourished by my feminine energy.
That's,
and it was so beautiful. It touched my heart. It really opened my heart too. Yeah.
So, okay. So I get it. And we have to go somewhere with this, because it's interesting. There's a correlation here between the beginning of the show where you talked about men coming to see you because they didn't feel any intimacy in their relationships, and you not feeling intimacy in your relationship. Mm-hmm. And then you saying that, okay, this man's wife died. So it's like the feminine was dead.
Yeah.
I'm speaking figuratively now. Like,
yeah.
His wife was literally dead, but figuratively, and it is true in our world, the feminine in a lot of aspects is dead. Like, mm-hmm. women have succeeded in corporate, and they've succeeded in becoming very masculine, and they've succeeded in a bunch of ways, which is what the women's liberation movement was about. And then the feminine is dead. It's like on the side of the road. My femininity when I was in corporate was in my desk drawers, tucked away, and it wasn't there. Now it was there unconsciously, you know what I mean? I still had like some seduction going on. I was like a top salesperson in the world for a particular company. And so I had to be using all that sexual energy, but I didn't know about it then. So I was walking around in a suit making commands. You know, I could have smoked a cigar. I didn't, but I could have. And my feminine was essentially dead until I found Tantra.
Yes.
And the feminine, the first day, the feminine came alive in me. You know, I cried. I went, oh my gosh, I'm a woman. You know? So I just had to say that because there's a connecting the dots here of the beginning of what you laid out in the beginning and now what you're saying. So you got in touch with your feminine. You were going to say no to this man, but you didn't. You listened to the situation. And then you felt a dance for him in the feminine, like that's sexy. And it wasn't sex. It's like you just turned up your flame of Shakti and you gave it to him. And I'm sure I don't know if he cried or not, but I think if I was him, I would have cried.
Mm. Yeah. And I have had men cry in my sessions. Mm. You know, sometimes it can be just, then, you know, one of the things I do in the tantra massage is really lightly touch through their neck and their faces really gently. And I've had them cry because they've never been touched like that before. Been touched.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
I'm so moved and I'm inspired, you know. So, okay. But did you have actual intercourse sex with this man or, you know, because when we talk about locking a man's heart open, now I feel like we're talking figuratively, like you're really not, you're not really doing that, but I don't know what you're doing.
Yeah, no, it's not actually about the physical. It's the physical act of sex. It's like penetrating his heart with your feminine, effectively penetrating his heart with your feminine energy, with your love, with your nurture, with your receptivity and vulnerability. It's like that's what opens his heart and gives him permission to also be seen. And you know, to open a man's vulnerability, we have to drop into our vulnerability and make it safe for him to be vulnerable, because so many men just don't feel safe to be vulnerable. It's weak, and it's, you know, in their minds, it's, you know, for me, I feel like it's courage and strength. But yeah, a lot of the men in my sessions, like, I would just hold them, or they cry. Like, I just hold them in my arms because they're just like, wait, like needing full permission to let go of everything that they've been trying to hold on to not appear to be strong and not appear to be weak. But they, you know, they've got that feminine too. Like, so they need to be held as well. They need to be held in their feminine.
Yes. Well, I was going to say, it's funny, you as the dancer are speaking about penetrating his heart, and penetration I see as a masculine, in the healthy masculine, I see penetration as like a fabulous thing. We have to sometimes penetrate through the void and go, you know, make a decision and go, I'm doing this. And that's penetration. And that to me is a masculine quality. While you're holding someone and their heart is busting open, and that's like a vulnerability and a opening and radiance. And I see that as a feminine trait. So we're kind of going back and forth. That's why masculine and feminine are so hard to define. But
yeah.
And I did a show recently about masculine and feminine. We really talked about the distinctions between them. That's why I'm like bringing them back up, because a lot of my listeners heard that. But I love what you're talking about. And so, okay, so I got the thing. We're going to take a break in a second, but I just want to leave you with where we're going to pick up. I got the thing where men need to be held, and so they can cry and they don't have to be so strong, and they need to discover their own feminine and their own vulnerability. And then I want us to bridge that to, like, what does that mean for culture? What does that mean for society? What would that do? Like, if men had a safe place, you know, which I think they did in days of old, they had high priestesses who did this all the time, and there were countries where it was legal. I think the Romans, you know, did away with all that. Something did away with all that, but let's blame the Romans. I want to bridge that, because there's a really important message in here, especially because of the current #MeToo movement. You know, so there's like a lot of fear right now in our world and in the gender world. And so I want to just bridge that. So I just want to have you mull with that for a second while we take a break. So this is Laurie Handlers. You are listening to Sex and Happiness. I am sexy. I'm happy. I love this show, and I love the guests that I have on this show, and I hope you do too. I'm having a great time with EJ Love, who's living in Australia. She travels the world. She stands up for what she believes in. That's why she's dubbed the Love Priestess. She's not afraid to go on national mainstream TV and say what she does and talk about it and try to take away the stigma of what is so needed and so necessary. So we're going to be right back, and we're going to talk about why this stuff is so necessary in the culture. My question for people right now is, if you're a woman who could use a little zest and zing in your arousal response, or maybe you know women or a woman who could use this, because many women say that their feelings of desire, arousal, and sexual satisfaction don't happen as naturally or as often as they'd like. So I want to tell you about Zestra, because Zestra was developed to meet this much needed option for women. Zestra Safe and a patented blend of botanical oils and extracts, and it's created to help women have increased sexual sensations. Zestra comes in convenient single-dose personal packets. Each packet keeps the essential arousal oils and extracts free, fresh, and safe from light. And with application of Zestra, it starts to work within 3 to 5 minutes. And at about 10 minutes, there's something called the Zestra Rush. And that can last up to about 45 minutes. The great news is that Zestra can be used as frequently as you like during each sexual experience. Now, I'm somebody who believes that all women deserve sexual satisfaction.
That's why I do this show, in case you hadn't noticed. So I believe that men and women deserve sexual satisfaction. So if you're a woman who isn't getting that kind of arousal response that you want, please call 877-426-8047. That's 877-426-8047. And please remember to say you heard about Zestra from Laurie Handlers on the Sex and Happiness show.
Many times on Sex and Happiness, you've heard Laurie talk about emotional release and how important it is. Well, now you can do emotional release in the privacy of your own home. In Laurie's CD, Shamanic Release and Lottie Hahn, she creates a safe and sacred space in which you can do the powerful work Laurie is known for in her sacred sexuality courses. Laurie sets you up with the proper positioning and breathing. Then she guides you through each emotional state to the beat of tribal African rhythms. This CD provides an easy way to do emotional clearing work on a regular basis. Order your copy of Shamanic Release and Lottie Hahn today and watch your relationships walk free of emotional baggage. To order the Shamanic Release and Lottie Hahn CD by Laurie Handlers, go to www.butterflyworkshops.com right now.
Do you want to deepen your intimacy while being on the perfect vacation? I'm talking about an all-inclusive vacation with a nude beach, a prude beach, and award-winning food, entertainment, and service. In really fun classes each day, I'll take you into enhanced communication, intimacy skills, and sensuality. I also offer private sessions by appointment in sex magic, G-spot stimulation, female ejaculation, and men's ejaculation choice. Oh, and I'll have my Sibian there too, so you can experience the Sibian in a private learning session. There's many barriers to be dropped and a new freedom to be learned by accompanying me to this vacation. When? October 13th to the 20th, 2018. Where? Hedonism 2 Resort, Negril Beach, Jamaica. For more information, write to me, Laurie at butterflyworkshops.com. Or to book, call Tom's Trips at 800-285-0853. That's 800-285-0853. Book now while rooms last and tell them you're among my group. Be among the wonderful people who will be joining me this year. I can't wait to be with you in Jamaica. This is Sex and Happiness, and I'm Laurie Handlers, and I'm very moved by my interview today with EJ Love. I just have to say, EJ, this is it's just really touching my heart, I guess, because, and why I brought it up is because I'm so sad about what's happening in the world. I'm so sad that women have had to for so long put up with and be affronted by the unconsent, the non-boundary approaches of men, and that they're so angry that they're coming out, and they're like men are dropping like flies, and so many men who are good men, maybe ones who never did anything like that to anybody. Although, you know, we have been brought up to expect that men will make the first move. Men will try to do the first kiss. Men will take the phone number. Men will do. So we actually have expected them to do some of this aggression. And now there's such an angry world that men are dropping like flies. They're being taken down. They're losing everything. And I don't think that's I know the pendulum has swung all the way to the other side. I'm very frightened for the lives of men that I know. And I'm frightened for some of the women that I know who have been holding on to this thing for so long. I don't have the solution, but I feel like our work is the solution, and the opportunity to make peace between the genders is now. So how do you see it? You know, how do you see that the men getting into their heart space, you know, how will that change things in the culture?
Yeah, I'm very passionate about helping men and women to understand and love each other and really appreciate each other's differences. Something that I teach quite a lot And I feel like it's, like you said, I feel like the work that I'm doing with men is the key to helping them open and awaken into being in their hearts, which, they carry so much shame, even just shame for being a man, for what men are being persecuted for all the time. I myself, you know, I've experienced abuse, and I've been in 3 abusive relationships where I've done a lot of healing on myself. And now I'm in a place where I'm focused on really, like, how can I understand love and love men and feel compassion and which actually empowers me. And so with that, I feel like, men are not going to, when they are able to fully express their emotions and be in their hearts and be vulnerable, they're not going to be bottling that up, and they're not going to be expressing that in unhealthy ways, you know, whether it is through violence or numbing themselves or, you know, being depressed and dealing with health issues, that because they've been bottling up all these emotions, or things like porn addiction and sex addiction and all these things that they get addicted to because they don't actually know how to manage their sexual desire or their sexual energy. So, you know, bringing them into their heart space is going to help them to feel what they've been holding on to and suppressing, and manage it in a healthy way, and, you know, have full permission to do that rather than holding it down because it's not, you know, because it's weak or not appropriate. So I think in the culture, if we allow men to feel what they need to feel and not put so much pressure on them to, you know, have to be a certain way to be a man, like I say, in inverted commas, because there's so much pressure on them, that it's going to really liberate them. And then how they show up in the world, particularly with women, will be really, really different. So yeah, that's my view on it. Yeah.
Well, please forgive me, but I have to take it another place.
Sure.
And the place I have to, because I love what you said, and there's a piece of me that's like, yeah, I'm so vibrating with that. Yeah, I resonate. And then there's another part that's like, and I want to say but I'm not going to. So I'm going to say, and I so love the masculine in men, and I hate when they get too pussified. You know, like, yeah, a lot of men, mm-hmm, in their effort to become really sensitive in what the women's movement wanted, yeah, have like given their balls away. They sold their balls away to I don't know who. And I, yeah, need them to have their balls too. Like, I need them to be like, ah, you know, because, yeah, I that turns me on. So,
yeah.
So could you speak to that?
Yeah, I totally agree with you on that one as well. And I think, you know, because so many women have become so masculine, a lot of men have just automatically dropped into this feminine, and a lot of men are really afraid of women's of a lot of women as well, and then they don't stand up. And but we are here longing, like, you know, to be stood up to as well. So I think it's important that men work on both. You know, it's not just like, oh, I want to work on like feeling my emotions, but I'm going to learn it, like, also to hold space for myself and work on that part of me that is, you know, can make decisions and can plan and is grounded and present. It's a mix of both, and for both men and women. So I think that's, yeah, that I'm glad you brought that point up. It's kind of funny when I don't know if you have been to Bali, or anyone listening is like, if you go to somewhere like Ubud, it's very, very spiritual, and there's a lot of feminine energy there. And you go to somewhere like Canggu, which is another area, it's like then you've got like the men and they're more in their masculine. So it's this real like diverse energy there. So it's like, you know, bringing those together and cultivating both masculine and feminine is really, really important.
Yeah, it really is. Thank you. I just had to go there, you know. Yeah. I want men with open hearts in my life. And I actually have beautiful, loving, wonderful men with open hearts in my life. I don't want anything else. I mean, I have some who are like tough and, you know, but they come to class and they come to different trainings and they,
they soften and they don't, you know, they realize that that thing is killing them, exactly what you said, like that's causing their health challenges and everything else. And by the same token, I'm sorry, Alan Alda, but I don't like the Alan Alda men. I don't like the ones who just seem to be totally sensitive all the time and taking their they're taking their cues from me. It's like, no. I want equal footing. I want to be able to be in my masculine when I need to do whatever I'm doing. I want to be able to be in my feminine whenever I'm doing whatever I'm doing. And I want to be able to go back and forth and switch and change and like whatever empowers in the moment. And I want them to have the same thing. I don't want them to be in fear. Like if they show something John Wayne-ish, that's like a total, you know, they're going to be brought down. I don't want that. I don't want that. So I, you know, I had to take a stand here because you and I are at the heart of the matter, you know, and I'm so grateful that you're doing what you're doing. You know, it's so important. So let's find out. First of all, I'm just going to find out how people can get in touch with you and find you. How can they see this? Can they see the television show where you went on national television? Tell us a little bit about how to contact you and find you.
Sure. So my website is ejlove.com. Nice and easy one.
Okay.
And my Facebook is ejlove priestess. And that has all my videos and it has the show on there. I've done quite a number of different interviews. So yeah, it's been a beautiful journey. So yeah, so that's and also I'm on Snapchat. I love Snapchat, which is EJ Love Angel. If anyone wants to have me on Snapchat,
okay, that's wonderful. So before we close, if I were to say to you, give me one nugget, you know, like I think this was very eye opening and very, and it may be even very controversial, especially because we dropped some F bombs. What would you say, you know, this is an international audience. I have no idea where everybody is scattered. What would you give to people? What thing would you leave them with that they need to look at? And I'm talking men and women. I didn't even think we're talking about having to be hetero. I mean, we're talking about anybody that's locked in a role that's unhealthy. So like what, and I don't know if that's where you were going to go with it, but what's a nugget that you would give?
So that's a great question. I love it.
Yeah.
The first thought that's coming to my mind is about vulnerability. And what I'm feeling is, and I wanted to add to what you said before, is that what I found is that when I'm vulnerable and receptive, this will also initiate a man into more of his masculine as more of his protector and his depth. I feel like the main nugget here is that looking at if you have an unwillingness to be vulnerable, to be receptive or surrender, is to really dive into what are you afraid of? And there you'll find what those blocks are like. And because we're all longing to be deeply seen, like we speak to people, I just want to be seen. I want to be loved for everything I am, for deeply who I am. And so there's the vulnerability and the willingness to be seen that we have to dive into that will open our hearts. So, and allow ourselves to be loved. So that's my nugget is really exploring is like, what am I really afraid of and how can I love those parts of me that I'm afraid people will see? Because you have to love those parts of yourself first. And that's the shadow, like bringing up those scary, vulnerable, icky parts that we don't want to look at and looking at those and just loving them anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Loving ourselves despite them. And plus you just brought up another thing, which is really important, had to do with shadow. People often confuse shadow with evil. And that's not, and the shadow of us is not evil. The shadow of us is just that part that has had no permission for love and for oxygen. and for, you know, sunshine. Like there are parts that we know and don't know that have been hiding. And those are the parts that that can only heal if they come out.
Yep.
So good. Well, EJ, what a pleasure to have you as my guest today. Really, just I'm very moved, and I really am looking forward to meeting you in the flesh.
Me too.
And I just want to thank you so much for doing the work that you're doing, for coming on here today.
Oh, my pleasure. It's been such a honor, really. Thank you.
Thank you. So everybody who's been listening, I want to thank you too, because, you know, I don't know you all. I don't know you all by name. Some of you I know, because people actually write me and let me know that they listened. And I have friends around me who listen all the time. They listen to every podcast and they tell me about, you know, their feedback about it and everything. And I just want to thank you all. You know, there are people in my life, especially Susan. I'm just going to say, Susan Cutforth, you're amazing. You give me feedback about every single show. And I know you're going to hear this and you're going to go, ah. So thank you. Thank you for listening. Thank you for the feedback. Thank you for the loyal support. I wouldn't do this without you. And I hope that this is making your life sexier and happier. It certainly is mine. This is Lori Handlers signing off for Sex and Happiness. And I'll be with you next time, bringing you an amazing gift of a guest. And, you know, that's what I have to say. Namaste.
Thank you for joining us today for Sex and Happiness. To learn more about Lori and her work, please go to butterflyworkshops.com or follow her on Twitter or Facebook. You can send her an email at sexandhappiness@gmail.com. We'll see you again right here next week for another edition of Sex and Happiness.
I want to talk to you about the craziest and most inventive sex toy or sex enhancement that I've come upon in a long time. It's called Love Rider, LUVRYDR. That's LUVRYDR, Love Rider. So I know the couple that invented it. They never intended to invent it. They stumbled upon it. And isn't that how most things go in life? The subtitle to Love Rider is Grab the Bar and Ride Your Lover Wild. And I want to tell you that I've had multiple experiences with Love Rider. I've taken it all around the world and I've had lovers experience it. I've given it to them overnight and told them to come back and tell me their experience with it. And every one of them comes back with a raving report. It's a harness that the person receiving puts around their shoulders, either forwards or backwards, whatever. It depends on what position you want to use the Love Rider in. And the person who's giving, the penetrator, takes the handlebar like they're riding a horse and they lean back and they get amazing angles of penetration from using this device. It's hard to describe, but I want to encourage you to go there and look it up. Listen, my lover gave it a 5.5 stars out of 5. That's all I got to say. So go to loverider.com and look for this beautiful invention. And you can use my name if you call them, or you can use my code Butterfly Workshops, letting them know that you heard about Love Rider through me. That's loverider.com, LUVRYDR. As a sex and happiness coach, I understand that increased sexual participation intensifies sexual responsiveness and desire, as well as overall health and well-being. My experience with the Sibian has personally increased my sexual response, and I can now train women to use this machine to have peak orgasms as often as possible. I strongly believe this will add to their health and well-being, whether they have a partner or not. The beauty and the miracle of the human body is that it adapts and changes much more rapidly than people change their beliefs or their opinions. The Sibian can make any woman's body more resilient with each peak orgasm. Sibian is an amazing experience, often described as the Lamborghini of sex toys. if you're a woman and you can get yourself to look at Sivian, you should do so. It won't take away from your partner. It will only add. Trust me on this. I love my Sivian. Go to Sivian.com. That's Sybian.com. Or call 1-800-253-6135. That's 800-253-6135. And say Lori Handler's told you about Sivian. And by the way, if you do have a partner, ask about Venus for Men. That's Venus, V-E-N-U-S, for Men.